We're excited to continue to jump into this new Reshapes Our Cultural Values series. It's been our prayer throughout this series that you would lean into a values-based living, that you would start searching and finding what are the places that you live out of? What are the things that guide those split-second decisions? Or what are the things that drive that long-term thinking when you have time to actually ponder the decisions that you make? Well, let me kind of remind us where we've been in the series by walking you through some of the values that we've seen highlighted as we've journeyed through the book of John. You're going to see that we've been saying that you got to be engaged. That if you want to love like Jesus loved, then you have to engage Jesus the way Jesus engaged God. And there's no such thing in Jesus's vocabulary as a passive love. There is an engaged, sacrificial love. And we went on and you heard Chuck talk about the process of experiential learning, that we should always be learning. That anything less than a posture of saying, hey, I'm going to keep learning and I'm going to keep recalling the things that Jesus taught me in my past and be looking for places that he's trying to move me in the future, it would be arrogant if we didn't have a posture of always being willing to learn. You heard Andrew say that we should expect movement, that that's how God holds and sustains the world together. And we humans have a tendency for complacency and complaining. But if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to know what Jesus values, if you want him to reshape your values, then you should expect to be moved in the process. And today we're going to look at the reality that we were called to live generously rather than hoarding. When you think about generous living, you think about living out of the gifts that you have and giving them excessively and extravagantly. And that's not always an easy concept for us to live in. As we ponder generous living, I want to set up a few guardrails. Because the second we hear the word generosity, we start building some walls up, possibly in our mind or in our heart or with our lives. Some of us, when we start talking about generosity and Jesus reshaping us in that capacity, we instantly think that, well, I'm not sure I want to engage that conversation because, well, Jesus, God, they're going to take everything that I have. Now, let me caution you for just a second that maybe God and Jesus don't want to take everything you have. Remember that they provided you with everything that you have. There's another guardrail that we might want to look at in this conversation. The second guardrail is the fact that Jesus is oftentimes calling us to generosity. And when he calls us to generosity, we instantly think money. But when the scriptures talk about generosity, they talk about it in far more capacities than money. It's about our giftedness, the way we give our giftedness to others, specifically the way we extend hospitality to people who aren't like us. And so be cautious in just thinking about generosity as a money conversation. And another guardrail that I want to put up as we enter into this conversation is that we have to understand that each of us have a personality. And specific to generosity, that we can be on different ends of the spectrum. If you follow Dave Ramsey at all, you understand what he does. He says that, you know, there's the free spirit and the nerd, and most relationships have one and the other, and they come together and they conflict a little bit in that. Well, when we start talking about generosity, there are some people who just live out of a personality that gives everything away. And that's not a great trusting place to be in life, where you give to the place where you're not sustainable yourself, that you emotionally exhaust yourself in the name of helping other people. Well, that's not smart. But there's the other end of the spectrum, where some people think of generosity and they keep, and they save so much and they don't give to others. And that is also too not a healthy place to live, because both of the ends of the spectrum aren't trusting in the way that they live. As we talk about living generously, let's allow Jesus to come in and give voice and possibly reshape us in the way we have this conversation. Jump into your Bibles, John chapter 15. It's in your journal, page 90. John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Let's kind of stop right there for a second and look and see what we can unpack in this text. You're going to see, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. If you've been watching through the Gospel of John, you know that Jesus loves to use these I am statements, and John records them. And sometimes it's I am referring to Jesus' deity, that he is God, he is Yahweh, he is the God of the Scriptures, yet he's in the flesh. And then other times he uses the I am statements with an illustrative example afterwards. Well, this is one of those times where he's just using a very practical thing in an agricultural context to say, hey guys, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. But as you circle or highlight or understand those two phrases, would you just write beside that in your text, source? Jesus is trying to set up that he is the source. Don't forget where we're at in the Gospel of John. We're in this sacred space where John chapter 13, Jesus starts in a conversation of, hey, this is what love looks like. And then he walks into this engaging farewell conversation with the disciples as he's headed toward his death. He kind of gives them the last message, and this is part of the last message. And then he's going to pray for them in John chapter 17. I hope you've spent some time there over the past couple weeks so that you could understand how intimate this conversation is for Jesus. When he's talking about living generously, it's not about what you have, but more of a conversation about who do you trust. And so right here he says, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. It's a conversation of source. But the text goes on, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. As we look at this text, we need to see a couple things. And this is the part, if we're completely honest with ourselves, this is the part that we're scared of. Because it literally says that he takes away. He prunes. We need to understand that there's pain involved when Jesus reshapes our cultural values. But there's a purpose. And in this part of the plan is a process. And we need to understand that the process that Jesus, if we're going to live generously, he's going to take away some things from us and he's going to prune us. Well, why do you prune something? You prune it so that it can grow more, or that it can grow in the right directions. And we just need to understand that this is a part of the process. But when we are experiencing the process, we have to remember the why behind the what that God and Jesus are doing to us. And the process and the why are that we're going to bear much fruit. The text is going to go on. And before we read on in the text, because I'm going to read verses 3 through 11 for us, I want you to see the word abide. Every time you see that word abide, I want you to think through the conversation that we've been having over the past couple weeks. That the word abide, it means to remain, to continue on in this relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as we read through this text, think about what it looks like to engage in a relationship with Jesus in a way that we would always be learning, that we would be expecting movement in our life in a way that we would be compelled to live more generously. Listen in as we read this text. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I want us to see that when you and I continue in relationship with Jesus, when we remain in connection with the source, something incredible happens. Let's look at it right here. It says in verse 8, it says, by this my Father is glorified. Do you remember back to John chapter 13 where Jesus introduces this new command, this transformational command? He said, I'm going to do this that you would see the glory of God in Christ through the Spirit. And I want you to not only see the glory, but I want you to help other people see the glory. Again, we're back to this conversation on living generously so that the Father's can be glorified, that we can worship rightly, and that other people can taste, touch, and experience the glory of God. But God never leaves us hanging. We see that it says Jesus' joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. When you and I are willing to recognize the source, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we're willing to walk through a pruning process where Jesus reshapes our cultural values, then we better recognize God's glory, and we better experience a joy that can't be understood by human comprehension. But to us and to the world around us, they see something drastically different. Something that could only come from one who has authority. A rabbi who teaches about eternal things. And so we see that we lean into the source. We trust the process. It might be painful. But even through the process, we continue in relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And some incredible things happen. We look at verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. God wants you to experience joy in a value-based living. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You're going to see this text. And if you've been with us through this series, it's going to look familiar. Remember back to John chapter 13, verses 34, where he says, a new commandment I give you, to love one another. And then he tells us what is new and transformative about that commandment, that it would be a love that Jesus would offer us. Well, he's right back at that conversation. This commandment I give you is to love one another as I have loved you. This is a generous type of love. A love that means we were engaged in the values that we have. A love that's going to always be learning. And a love that's going to be willing to be moved in a conversation. But the text goes on in verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. My guess is that you are never going to have to experience laying down your life for someone. You probably won't have that happen in your life. It might. And my guess is if you reach that place, you'll be ready for that moment. And you'll make the wise decision in that moment. But for us, this might be a little bit more difficult at times. Because greater love is an everyday decision. It's an every relationship decision. May I suggest that greater love, sacrificial love, generous love does a few things. Could I encourage and challenge us that this type of generous love, well, it values people over preferences. You've been there. Have you lived out of your values? Or in those moments, do you live out of your preferences? We can all be consumers at times, but we lean into our values and we choose people over preferences. Sometimes this is going to push us, this greater love, this generous love is going to push us to value lives over our lifestyle. If we're honest, we really not only like our lifestyle, but we would like a better lifestyle. And we get so fixated on getting there that we oftentimes devalue the lives of others. And so we got to be careful to value lives over our lifestyle. And this whole text has been in a conversation of, do you value the source over the stuff? Do you appreciate the I am of the vine? And do you appreciate the vine dresser, or do you just want the fruits? Well, if you want to really lean into generous living, then you will lean in to the source and recognize where the fruit comes from. Be reminded in this greater love conversation that generous living is much like being engaged and having sacrificial love. It's a universal language that everybody gets to experience the glory of God when you and I live out of the values of Jesus, when we allow Him to reshape us. There's some blessings that come out of this, some confidence that can come out of this type of living. Look at verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from you, from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Do you see it in this text? He says you're his friend. If we learn to trust the source, if we abide in Christ, we become friends, not servants. And he calls us friends. And then he goes on to further explain what that means. He says, I chose you. I appointed you, which means God created you on purpose for a purpose. And he didn't just create you and leave you, but he gave you responsibility. He appointed you with gifts, time, energy, and resources. And he didn't give you those gifts so that you could sit on them. He gave you those gifts so that you could live out of them generously, that you could be passionate in the way that you extend them to others. And I know it's scary when we get called to generous living because we wonder when we're going to dry up, when we're not going to have any more. But can I remind you? When you trust the source, you know that when you remain in the vine, you're always connected to the supplier. And so you trust and you plan wisely and you live wisely in a way that keeps you connected, abiding in Jesus so that the well never goes empty. Do you see it in this text for us? In John 15, 12, where we've been today, it says, "This is my commandment, that you would love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." I can assure you, on your own human abilities, you don't stand a chance at generously loving all people for all time. But when we lean into the values of Jesus, and when we allow Jesus to re-energize us, to give us a new identity, to transform us, well, that's where we get the strength to love one another, to be generous toward one another. The call is clear. The command is clear to love one another. But I gotta be honest, the response is not always as clear. Let's go back to those guardrails, because how you need to respond may vary from how I need to respond. We got to look back at this value of, when you think about generosity, do you get worried that God's just going to take everything from you? That the church is just going to take everything from you? Or do you know the source? Do you trust the source? Because if you do, you know that when you abide in the source, the fruit will always come. And so I want to ask you, where are you in God? Do you trust Jesus, not just as Savior, but as Lord, King, and Savior? And then maybe, can I ask us to wrestle with a maybe even harder question? Not just do you trust God, but can God trust you? Can God trust me? When they gift us generously, can they expect us to live generously so that other people can see the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Some of us, we look at that other guardrail and we think about money. And can I just challenge you to be stretched in the way that you think of generous living? God has gifted you in so many ways. Can you stretch a little bit in the way that you see how God wants to use you generously? What are the open doors in your life, the places that are just really easy to give away? Learn from those areas by looking into the harder areas of your life and say, what are the areas that maybe are more closed to God getting access to Jesus actually reshaping? And then that last guardrail was your personality. What do you do with your personality based on this? And what I would encourage you to do is be in healthy conversation with those on different parts of the spectrum. If you're more of a give, 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 but not really connected to the source type of person, allow somebody to teach you what it means to truly trust God in a way that you don't have to give to find your value, but you find your value in being connected to the vine and the vine dresser. If you're the type of person that loves to be connected to God, but you sit on your gifts because you don't think you have any, can I ask you to be in a conversation with somebody you trust to say, what would it look like for me to live more generously with the gifts I've been given? Yeah, the individual areas are going to vary. But I want you to know, as a church, we live out of values. We make value-based decisions because we know who Jesus is. And so no matter the season that we're in, we look at what Jesus values and what he's calling us to reshape in what we value. And from the beginning of this conversation with COVID-19, we've been saying we want to be engaged. We want to make wise decisions in the short term, in the intermediate term, and in the long term. We also said we always want to be learning, that we know we're going to get some things wrong in this process, and we want to be the first people to admit that we don't have all the answers, but we're going to be attentive in assessing the situation. It's value-based living. We also said that we're going to expect movement, that we shouldn't expect in this time in history that just because things are going differently, that God doesn't want to move in a mighty way. Matter of fact, we believe that he probably wanted to move in a really mighty way. So we're expecting movement. And then we said, hey, when a lot of people are going to be tempted to hold on to things because we like to control when other things are out of control, we said, man, we want to make sure we're going to live generously. And can I just share with you some exciting news? That when we weren't able to meet together on campus, we had a west venue and an east venue. But when God said, hey, that format's not going to work anymore, we started asking some bigger questions. And about a month before COVID-19 hit, the elders and the leadership team were talking about how God might want to reach into the future and reach Gen Z, and how he might be preparing the church. And we put together a 12 to 18 month plan to kind of go digital, to reach a different audience and allow that audience to engage with us online and on different platforms. And then COVID-19 hit. And we were instantly finding ourselves having church online. And that happened late Saturday afternoon. And by Monday night, we're having a conversation to say, do we trust what God was leading us to? And do we lean into our timeline or his timeline? And we landed on the fact that if we're going to live generously, we've been wise in other areas. We're going to reallocate finances in different places, but we're going to trust that God's people are being generous and will continue to be generous. And we're going to not just have a west venue and an east venue, but we're going to have an online venue. And right now you're experiencing that in its infant stages. But God has a dream of doing far more. So I just want to show you, while we've been out of the building, we've been doing some construction. And you're going to see that the west venue looks a little bit different when you get back here. But I don't want you to think of this as a west venue remodel. We already did that. We renovated the west end. We renovated the east end. We've been doing that the past couple years. But this renovation is for a totally different venue. It's our online venue. And we believe that when you live out of a set of values, you know that God wants to move in the lives of people, and he's moving. And some of you are meeting us right here in our online venue. And it's because of generous living of other Christians who have come before you and been faithful in giving their gifts, their time, their energy, their resources, because they trust in the values of Jesus and they trust the source, not just the fruit. And so, church, I want us to continue as this series wraps up. Our leaning into the values of Jesus and letting those reshape us will never stop. So let's ponder as we move into another time of worship how Jesus might want to keep reshaping us in a way that we would continue to live generously out of the gifts that he has provided.